Hello, Texans. Good evening. We are live from the Sports Radio 610 studios again, the Hyundai Texans radio studio on the road, and really not on the road as far as these guys go. Chris Santiago behind the glass at the controls. It's kind of like in Star Trek. He's Mr. Sulu, all right? This is a dated reference. Just bear with me. He's Mr. Sulu.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Are you Spock because you know all this stuff? Are you Spock with a personality?
I guess.
Because you're very knowledgeable. And I am Chekhov. I want to be Kirk. I don't want to be Chekhov.
You want to be Kirk Cousins? Go to Atlanta, make a lot of cash?
I don't want to be one of the yeoman purser, whatever. I don't want to be one of these people that dies when they go down to, they beam themselves down. I don't want to be one of those. But we're flying the machine tonight, and we're having a good time because it's free agency.
It is.
Oh, by the way, so I saw Sean Lopez's apology today on on the Sports Radio 610 X feed. I apologize.
Awesome.
I thought it was after day one that free agency is done. However, now I know. I'm paraphrasing. Now I know it's after day two. I thought that was funny. I bring this up for a reason, by the way. Go ahead. I'll finish the thought.
Which is fine. I'll say this, and you know I feel this way. There's no winner after day one, day two, day nine, day 25. There just isn't.
Well, what did I say? What did I say day one? I said, I try not to freak out until after week four of the regular season.
Yeah.
Because then you know how things are really going.
Right. And you can look at it and go, okay, maybe we missed here. Maybe we missed there.
Yeah.
But I think, and obviously I got tagged in the video because I got mentioned along with Sean Pendergast. And it wasn't like I was celebrating. I will celebrate moves that I think are good for this team.
Yeah.
I will celebrate those. Right. There's no question about that. I will celebrate those. But I'm not sitting here after day two going, Super Bowl.
No. You never do that. So that's fine.
That's just not the way I live.
I bring this up for a reason. Because here we are after, or as day three winds down, and stuff could happen as we're on the air here.
Right.
The league year has started. Three Central has started. They had to be under the cap. Everybody had to be under the cap by 3 p.m. today.
Mm-hmm.
That was the goal. That's why you see players released today, trades made, things become official. Everybody's got to get under that number.
Right.
And as they make moves from now, they have to make sure they're staying under the number. But I bring this up because this is day three, as the negotiating period got started on Monday. And we felt after Monday, oh, boy, what's going on? Then they signed Al Shire, and we're feeling better. But, you know, they have more work to do. Clearly, they always have more work to do. Yesterday, Hunter, big euphoric feeling. You signed a massive playmaker. Now after day three, it's like Nick is making dinner and he had to run to the store and get something so he can complete the meal because the meal's not going to be complete anyway for a long time. But you feel like, wait a minute. What is going on with my defensive tackle situation? Last night, I had Malik in there and I thought if we're playing this weekend, it's Florenzo Fatakasi, right? So let's go there. Or somebody else that they deem worthy to start. But you know that Rankins and Ridgeway are out of here, and maybe they come back. I don't know. Has Ridgeway signed anywhere? Rankins signed anywhere yet? Okay,
Rankins, good. Ridgeway, neither one of them.
All right, so you never know what happens there. But the point is this, that last night I thought Malik was part of that DT rotation.
Right,
and I know Heinisch. I just saw Heinisch the other day working out at the facility. You know, Heinisch, Khalil Davis, we talked about him. But you figure somebody else is coming in to start. You figure. Maybe you're wrong. You, meaning collectively. You second person. But now, here we are after day three, or as day three winds down, Johnny, and you know that Malik, with the move, the trade to the San Francisco 49ers, they save a little under the cap, but you're thinking something's up, something's going to happen, because I don't think there's any way they're thinking, and I like Kirk, and I like Khalil Davis, but there's no way they're thinking, we're set. We're all set at defensive tackle. They know they're not set. Something's up. I don't know what it is, but you have this... And look,
you had a corner
yesterday. Yeah. You're like, well, they're going to get another corner, whether it's through the draft or whatever. Maybe they get a defensive tackle or two through the draft. I don't know. But are you with me that, okay, we made a move here. We saw a move made today, and we don't see where it's going yet, but it's going somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether you made a comment in studio today and you were pulling up the cap numbers and you typed it in and you went, dang, the cap is going fast. I was like,
oh, yeah.
I've been saying that for 2 months.
Yeah, it goes
quick. You make a deal here, you make a deal there, and all of a sudden, bada bing, bada bang. Oh, boy, you got $25 million in cap space versus what you started with 70 or whatever the case might be. I don't even know the exact numbers. I'm so tired of looking at contracts. Hey, does this toll after 1 year? Are there void years? Like, ah, that's Texas cap world. Like, that's his. That's all you, Texas cap. And by the way, I think it's a very healthy thing to know, to be honest.
By the way, if you, and full disclosure, sometimes I Google during the show because it just helps everybody, right? If you Google Houston Texans cap, you're going to see Texans hats, all right? And there's a wide array available at the team shop for you to enjoy.
Yes, salary cap.
But, yeah, and you know there are going to be new ones coming in soon within a month or so. Yeah. So this is going to be good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got to go salary cap.
Yeah, there's
and
no
we're
doubt.
On YouTube, too.
Yeah, hi. I don't know
so
where the cameras
are. So where are the cameras, Chris?
I have no
this
idea.
This is the camera. Hi. Yeah, because people
the camera?
Were talking about what I was wearing yesterday.
Oh, there's the camera.
And I asked you, I asked Chris during one of the breaks, hey, what we talk about during the commercials, do they hear that on YouTube?
Yeah.
He said no. I was like,
okay, good.
Thank God. All right, so we're good. We're good. The mics are allegedly silent during the commercials on YouTube and Twitch.
I mean, veterans of the radio business.
I should have made sure of this before.
Yes, veterans of the radio business. This is nothing on Chris at all, but there's a live mic in front of our face. We got to be careful. The Malik Collins thing, I think it's about $3.5 million that they're saving on a cap. They'll take a dead cap hit of about $10 million. Because of signing bonus that they still, I think they paid him, but then they stretched it out over the length of contract. So we'll have to do that. And you're right. I mean, when you see a move like that, I mean, how many times have we seen, especially in the last 12 to, when did D'Amico take over? January 31st or something like that. So the last 14 months since D'Amico's been here, and even before that, when he wasn't here, when something happened at a position, there usually was some corresponding move somewhere. Now, a lot of people speculated Arik Armstead. He was released from the San Francisco 49ers. So does that become almost a straight-up trade? You guys get Malik, we get Arik Armstead. Who knows? DJ Reader is still out there, although he is visiting the Lions, I believe. And obviously DJ is coming off a pretty tough injury. But he would kind of solve our size issue, I guess, if you want to call it that. I mean, Malik, I think Malik is listed at 310. Malik was like 300. All of our guys are like 300, except for Fatukasi, who's, I think he's like 320.
But they, all right, so Fatukasi is the biggest guy
the
that
biggest
they have
of the group.
That will play a lot, right?
Yep.
And we always talk about this.
At this point. Now, here's the other thing. You're going, well, I just go to the draft. Well, there are two big guys in the draft, if you will.
All right.
One, we know is really big. That's Tavondre Sweat out of Huntsville, Texas, University of Texas. 6'3", 6'4". 366, not 266 like he used to be in high school. In fact, it was 255 in high school as a junior. Graduating at Texas, he's now 366. And then McKinley Jackson from Texas A&M, who's 325 pounds. Other than that, if I just kind of ripped right down my defensive tackle listing, just of players and just gave you their weights, you'd be like, whoa, they're light. Byron Murphy, 297. Jerjon Newton, 304. Ruka Rororo, 294. That's pronounced correctly.
Wait.
Braden Fiske, 292. What?
Pronounce that again.
Ruka Rororo.
Ruka Rororo?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, I can't.
Yes.
I can't do it.
Yes.
Ruka Rororo.
Yes.
I have to say that?
Yes.
Tackled by Ruka Rororo.
Yes.
Ruka Rororo.
Yes.
It sounds like I'm making a mistake.
It sounds like you're speaking Scooby-Doo language. But no.
Ruka Rororo.
Yeah, you're, it's
Rory-Doo.
Fiske, 292.
All right, I'm not making fun of his name. Your name is your name, okay?
It's just, it's difficult to say. I didn't know how to say it for a long time. Then I heard somebody say it. I was like, oh, that's kind of easy.
How do you spell
it? Don't even.
How do you, I want to know. I'm going to look
it up. O-R-H-O-R-H-O-R-O.
No.
O-R-O-R-O.
What's the descent here? Where is it from?
Nigerian, I think. I think that's right.
But that doesn't sound like a lot of the Nigerian names
I think
I've
it's
heard.
Nigerian. He's originally from Nigeria. He ended up in Michigan. He didn't play a lot of football. Man, you talk about an explosive athlete. But my point is, 294. Fiske, 292. Chris Jenkins Jr., 299. Leonard Taylor from Miami, 303. Like, that's big. considering Mike Hall, Ohio State, 290. So Gabe Hall, 291. Mason Smith, 306. Keith Randolph Jr., Illinois, 296. Dwayne Carter, Duke, 302. Tyler Davis, 301. Jaden Cromedy, 301. You just don't have a lot of size at all.
So the 350-pounders, is this a thing of the past now? I mean, the big run stuffers were so big 15, 20 years ago. You still have some in the league. But you have so much nickel and so much obvious passing down situation. And sometimes it's not obvious, but, hey, teams are going to throw it more often than run it. So you got to be quick. You have to get after the quarterback. You have to be explosive.
Here's what's happening, I think. On day one, the Panthers gave Robert Hunt, who's forming with Miami, 5 years, $100 million. Guard. Kevin Dotson re-signed with L.A. It was like $17, $18 million a year. Guard. Guards are getting paid. So the 350-pounders, they're going over to offense, and they're going to play guard because defenses, especially in college, are looking at it going, yeah, we can't play with 350-pounders anymore. There's so much spread. There's so much going on.
So they're not coming out.
They're all going to the offensive line.
As athletes younger.
Right. And so what you're left with are twitchy, 295-pound athletes that can just get it up front.
Right.
That just go. And that's, to me, that's where a big change is really happening. So you look at Sweat and you go, if you need, now, the NFL's got a lot of that. We're going to throw it around a little bit. But the NFL is going to probably run it a little bit more consistently than colleges will. So you look at Devondre Sweat and you go, man, maybe at 366 pounds, maybe he's such an anomaly. Maybe that ends up increasing his value.
Maybe D'Amico doesn't want that. Maybe he doesn't want a big, huge,
maybe not, I
don't 350 know. Type guy in
but,
the middle.
But that's the thing. If you take Sweat out of there, Sweat out of the mix, just move him out of the mix, you don't even have anybody other than McKinley Jackson at 325 pounds. They're all, like I just read to you, they're all 300 pounds, like, or less. You get in there against, well, I was going to say the Titans offensive line, but, you know, you get in there against the Colts. You're going against Ryan Kelly, Quentin Nelson, and Fries with 295-pounders. They're going to roll. They're just going to pound the football. So it's just changed. So that's why I kind of look at Devondre and go, yeah, he might not be quite D'Amico's guy, but you might have to look at something like that. You might have to look at somebody that's heavier just because you are going to have to go to battle against those guys. And look what happened in our game, week 18. Taylor got rolling. Now, mid-third quarter, he goes out, comes back in. We shut him down the rest of the game. So guys kind of got a second win. But I'm telling you, when you're going against Nelson.
Oh, but that last drive, though, Johnny. They got it down the field.
I know.
And we all know what happened.
So that's why I'm saying, like, I feel like the defensive line could use a little bit of fat.
Okay.
Now, Fatu Kasi might be.
He might be the guy.
Maybe they believe in him for that. Absolutely.
But I have them with enough room left to go out and get Rankins back if they wanted it.
Yeah.
And we'll see. I just assumed they liked Malik and wanted him here, but maybe they felt like, let's save the room. Let's move on to another direction. And, you know, they always have a reason to do what they do.
Sure.
Sometimes it doesn't make sense when they do it. It'll make sense later.
Right.
But
sometimes it's years down the road where okay.
Well, this whole thing is one gigantic incomplete until you eventually see them practice and then play. And then sometimes even then, because I could go over would-be starters right now. We do this. We always go over a starting lineup, but we all know that the second teamers are going to play. You're going to have injuries.
Have to.
Third teamers, they're going to play. Now, you don't have a third team when you get to the 53-man roster, but you do in a sense because you have the practice squad, and those guys move up all the time with the elevations, and that's how it works. Nick is always talking about a 69-70-player roster that is in flux all year long, and we've seen how they can pick up players during the season, and they can help. An example of this, well, during training camp last year was George Fant. George Fant is back with the Seattle Seahawks today.
That's right.
So swing tackle is an interesting topic, which still needs some attention here, unless I missed something today.
Now, Josh Jones, free agent, correct?
Charlie
Heck,
gone.
Free agent.
Yep.
Now, they're free agents. They're not gone yet.
Yep.
But they're free agents.
Yep.
So do you end up bringing it back? Now they signed David Sharp, who was here back in 2018, which feels like a millennium ago.
It was.
But you still have Charlie Heck and Josh Jones that are free agents.
You have this Killian Zierer.
Oh, you have Zierer as well, which I'd be very interested to see what he ends up doing. I rolled who else do you have under contract?
It's like Zierer. It's a German name. I've talked to him about this.
Yeah.
A German name. I'm not going to pronounce it the way they do in Germany. Zierer. We'll stick with that.
Yeah.
He was banged up, and so he spent the year on IR.
That's correct.
But he looks like somebody that they would be interested in seeing in, obviously, preseason situations and see if he can go. But something tells me there's another move to be made there.
Yeah.
But you're right. David Sharp is on the roster here, so we'll see how that goes when we're talking about tackle. We get in the weeds here on Texans Radio as we talk about how they're going to shape this team. Andrew Beck is still on the roster at fullback. And you know he's coming back from injury, and I don't know how it's all going to fit together. Troy Hairston.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yes, in this offense, because we never got to see it.
Yeah.
And
we never got to see Troy.
I'd love to see him. You know, we know he's a hammer.
Right.
I'd love to see how he can develop catching the football, making plays that way, and working his way into this offense. Because Beck was valuable. There's no question.
No doubt.
Beck had maybe the play of the year, or like one of the plays of the year, with the kickoff return to Jacksonville and had the touchdown reception against Indy in the finale.
That's correct. Yep.
So he was useful and then some. Receiver. A lot of people want to see them go out and get another receiver. But when you look at what they've got.
All right, but when?
Because you mentioned this. Robert Woods is still here.
Right.
Obviously, I'm keeping out the big guys for now. Nico, Tank. Noah Brown back. Great. The big three for them would be them plus Woods. So there's four. Mechie's still here. Xavier Hutchinson, what do you want to see? Some development there. There are other names you know that you know them from preseason action and being out of training camp, and maybe a lot of you haven't been able to see that or enjoy that. But Jared Wayne, Johnny Johnson, Alex Bachman, and Jesse Matthews.
There's your guy.
That's my guy.
There's your guy.
He got banged up, but he was impossible not to notice in training camp last year, and we'll see if he can do something this OTA period. By the way, a lot of guys are working out. I see a lot of guys working out at the facility because you are a month away, what is it, April 15th, actually, from off-season conditioning.
That's right.
My theory on this now, it used to be you better show up to training camp. Well, it used to be back in the old days in the back when Bum Phillips would bring the guys to San Angelo, they had the 6 weeks of training camp and guys would show up and get in shape in camp, right?
Right, right.
Then it gradually emerged into this, you better show up at training camp in shape. Then it started to be, you better show up for OTAs in shape.
Yep.
Now it's, you better show up to off-season conditioning in shape. I get that feeling. They don't want to show up April 15th out of shape in any way, shape, or form. Right. They want to be good to go for whatever the team's going to throw at them then. And I know it's a voluntary time, but they got to be ready for that. They got to be ready. They don't want to be falling behind. So if you're a professional athlete, you're working out right now. It's that simple. You're definitely working. A lot of guys working out at the facility. A lot of guys working out around the country wherever.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, last year it was that much more important because you're breaking a new offense. Everybody was learning a new offense. You're breaking a rookie quarterback. You had all that going on now. You can hit the ground running, but you'd like to be able to hit the ground running in April. Make sure that things are all polished up. So whenever you start July 25th, 26th, whatever it is, you're rocking. You're ready to roll. Like there is no, okay, well, we can take a step back for a day. No, you just keep building at that point from what you've done in OTAs and conditioning and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like the receiver position, how do I put it this way? I feel like the receiver, running back, however you
skill.
Want to call it. Yeah. It's getting somebody. Maybe two. I don't care how you want to classify it.
Running back, certainly.
Yeah, I think running back for sure. And I think any running back that comes in is going to be somebody that's going to be able to impact the passing game as well, whether it's how they look at a third down back or whether, you know, like Dylan Lobby, I was talking about the other night from New Hampshire. Guy caught 12 passes against the Chippewas for 295 yards. He's listed as a running back, but he can play in the slot. So I do feel like there's going to be somebody in that wide receiver group. Look, I thought the wide receiver group was really good last year, but Robert was hurt. Noah was hurt. Obviously, we lost Hank at the end of the year. And I still say, even though that Nico got that 75-yarder against the Colts, I still say that was one of the things from that time. So Tank got hurt in the Broncos game. From that point forward, I feel like we really struggled with explosive plays down the field.
Yeah, the big plays.
And I'm not saying you got to find Tank Jr. I'm not saying you got to find a second coming of Tank, but you got to find somebody that in some way, shape, or form can give you explosive plays, whether it's catch and running, you know, catch, run and go, or it's deep downfield. They got great ball skills. They're going to make plays. You know, and here's the thing. At wide receiver, there are so many guys. And I know you don't want to break in a rookie in some sense. You did that all last year. You had a bunch of rookies last year. But if you get the right rookies and the right fit, you're going to end up, I think, getting a boffo player. Now, here's my question.
Yeah.
So, we've been talking about the defensive tackle position. At number 23 in the draft, defensive tackle gets kind of interesting because I do feel like there's going to be players. I feel like Byron Murphy is number one on the Harris 100, by the way. Harris 100, 100 through 76 is out the next 3 days. I'll unveil it all. But I had to break it up because the document's like 150 pages. So I broke it up into four sections. FootballTakeover.com. You can check out my Harris 100. Byron Murphy is number one. I'll just tell you that.
Number one defensive tackle.
Number one defensive tackle.
So where does he fit on the overall 100? Which is not a draft order. I get it because it's based on.
Do you want me to give that away?
I want you to give it away.
Yeah.
Give it away now.
Who's at Red Hot Chili Peppers, right?
Yeah, of course. Give it away.
I've got Murphy at number 16.
Okay.
So, possibility could be there at 23. Sweat will be there at 23. I feel like that's a little high for Sweat. And I've got two. I got those scouting reports up at footballtakeover.com.
All right, give me the corner guys. Who could be there at 23.
Okay. How many of them do you want at 23? Quinyon Mitchell, CB1, could be there at 23 from Toledo. Stud, 6 foot 195. My comp for him is Jonathan Joseph.
All right, so how hard is it to evaluate a cornerback from Toledo when he's not going up against SEC-type competition?
I didn't even care about his game film.
What?
He went down to Mobile and shut down everybody.
Okay, that's cool.
He shut down everybody.
I like that.
I mean, I watched his game film, obviously, because I love watching him. But see him up close, broad-shouldered, run, confident, doesn't say a word. Man, he was shutting dudes down. So Quinny Mitchell's my cornerback number one. Nate Wiggins from out of Clemson ran a 4.28 and 40.
You think your number one corner's there at 23? No one takes a corner before that?
Again. Now, there are teams that need corner. Who needs corner? Jacksonville. Well, considering what happened in Jacksonville today, you think Jacksonville's going corner? Jacksonville has no other receiver options. Mm. Oh, they could go trade for T. Higgins. You're going to do that? No.
Wait, what happened to Kirk?
Kirk's still there.
Yeah.
But he's a slot receiver.
Calvin Ridley goes to the Titans.
How about this? If Ridley had signed before the new league year started, had he signed in Jacksonville,
right,
the Falcons would have gotten a second. I'm sorry. The Falcons would have gotten a second round pick.
What?
The Falcons would have gotten a second round pick. But because they waited, Jacksonville only has to give a third round pick. And then he didn't even sign with Jacksonville. He ends up signing with the Titans.
Man, how's this going to work? I would love to see Hard Knocks with Ridley and Will Levis Tennessee. Because I think this is going to be very volatile for them. Mm-hmm. There are going to be some days where Levis and Ridley have some magical moments. There will be. There will be some games where that's happening. But we've seen Ridley up close and personal. Mm-hmm. And he's inconsistent. And Levis is inconsistent, too, in a different way. So there are going to be tough times ahead. We know that for the Tennessee Titans. All right. I guess we got to – all right, let's just take a quick breath here. But we're still live on YouTube, so you can try to figure out what we're talking about. You can read our lips like the HAL 9000. That's a dated reference as well. And – maybe we'll open up the phones because that was very popular last night. Opening up the phones, we're live here in the Sports Radio 610 studios. We can do that and talk about one of the best offensive games they played. Who wasn't there? Who wasn't there for the Houston Texans? And how does that play into what we think they might look like in 2024 offensively? It's coming up here on Texans Radio. Keeping you company. Live here from the Sports Radio 610 studios, and I'll open up the phones. We got some things to talk about. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. What do you want? What do you want them to do now? Besides, obviously, fortify the defensive tackle position with the trade to Malik Collins being reported today, that became a position of, okay, work to do there. There's still some areas where you look at work to do. Cornerback. Work to do. Linebacker, work to do. And maybe everywhere. We were talking about receiver earlier. you have a lot of guys on this roster and people that you know very well. But I go back to that Bengals game. They were explosive in that game.
Yep.
And guess who didn't play in that game?
Nico did not play in that
game. Nico did not play in that game. And I'm not saying, oh, you're great without Nico. We all want Nico. We want Nico badly. But it's interesting to me that when you have Dell on the field, it just seems, and Nico does this too, but Tank in particular just seems to open everything up for the other receivers. Remember how wide acre open Noah Brown got in that game several times, and CJ just throwing him darts downfield, and he led the team in catches that day with 7.
Oh,
he's back. And Schultz, 4 catches. Mechie actually had a couple of catches in that game.
Hey, Chris, I don't know if you're on the phone. You got the sounder?
Oh, yeah.
Hit the breaking news sounder because we got one. It's not Texans.
Okay.
Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL.
Oh, smarter
bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Yeah, okay.
Well, whatever. Okay.
Okay. It's not the Texans, but it could impact the Texans. Who is your all-time hated team ever?
The Colts. Don't tell me they did something good.
The NFL's comeback player of the year is coming back to the NFL. Joe Flacco has agreed to terms with the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, this is...
The All plot right. thickens.
So Flacco, that's a good move for them.
That's a great move
for
them.
A great insurance policy for injury-prone Anthony Richardson.
Okay.
Because we all saw what Flacco did last year. Now, the question is, if needed, can Flacco do it again?
Okay, I'm going to ask you this question.
All right.
This obviously didn't happen in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
But if Joe Flacco is playing quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts in Week 18, are we winning that game?
Hell yeah. I can't wait to see. Of course we
confidence.
Are. Look, Flacco in Game 1 with the Browns this year, good. Flacco in Game 2, not so good.
Yeah, not so
Pick
good.
6 Palooza.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. That was, the more people I talk to, they tell me, and I'm just giving you fan feedback here.
Yep.
The greatest night in franchise history. Now, that might be recency bias, but whatever it was at least one of them.
That
it was
so
a playoff
powerful.
Game where you were blowing them out, and it was a huge party on a Saturday night. It was awesome.
Glad you said those words a little bit closer. Felt like you might would take a pause, and I thought, oh, God, that's not going to be good. 1 year deal.
Yeah.
$8.7 million, including $4.5 million guaranteed. Backup quarterback, man. It's great work if you can get it.
Well, good for him because
he's going to play this year.
Yeah,
he will play this year.
Richardson's going to go down at some point. I mean, I hate to say go down, but every quarterback. Look, CJ got banged up last year. Quarterbacks get banged up.
Yep.
You have to assume that your backup quarterback is going to have to play a game or two.
Yep.
At the very least. You just have to assume that. And if he doesn't, great. But you better be ready for it.
That's correct.
That's why this is so important, that insurance policy position. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Robbie on the line here on Texans Radio, 713-572-4610. Robbie, what is up?
Rock and roll, baby.
Hey.
Listening to you, 2002, man.
Oh, nice. Thank you. I was 12 years old then.
Right.
Exciting to be a Texas fan right now. I tell you, man. I'm sitting here thinking about how things were a year ago as we sat here. Totally opposite. This thing has turned on a dime, and it's just so fun to be a part of now. I actually bought season tickets like in January last year, and I didn't know. I mean, there was talk that Mills might still be our quarterback.
Wait, did you buy him before D'Amico was named head coach, Robbie?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. My background, I'm a high school football coach, so I work on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
But my kids can drive now.
So oh, there you go.
I bought the tickets knowing that they'd be used one way or the other. But, I kind of looked into a situation here. And what do you guys see happening? Are they going to keep hammering on the defensive side and draft offense? That's what it seems like they might be doing. But anyway, I'll hang up and listen. Love you guys. Go Texans. It's a great time to be a Texan fan.
Thanks, Robbie. Great call.
Yeah, and, man, Robbie, appreciate that. Love the high school coaches calling, man.
Yeah, high school coaches calling in. Nice. And what a year to jump in as a season ticket
member. Yeah, no doubt.
What a year to jump in, and a lot of people did. A lot of people jumped in, and why not? And they were treated to some of the most memorable games, you know, one after another. Tampa Bay, Denver, the Cardinals game was great.
Saints.
Pittsburgh with Watt Day and all the rest of it.
So I was on YouTube of Palooza the other day, and somebody had put the 10 craziest games in the NFL or craziest endings or whatever in the NFL. And it was like this hour-long video, and I'm always curious just to see.
How many made it?
Tampa Bay, Houston, number two. Only game that he considered crazier was Jets, Bills, the opener.
Yeah, that was
Rodgers
crazy
got
game.
Hurt.
Yeah, his punt return for a touchdown,
Xavier
right?
Gibson runs that back for a touchdown.
But the Tampa Bay game is a classic NFL battle. And both teams looked really good down
so
the stretch.
So I'm watching. He's got it cut up, and I'm watching whoever this was had it cut up, and I'm just sitting there watching and reliving the whole thing. Like, where was I? What was I thinking? Oh, my God, there's the deep ball. Oh, there's a Dari field goal. You know, and then there's the drive. And the throws that CJ makes on that drive.
But you're leaving out Baker Mayfield taking the lead.
That throw is brilliant. I'm watching that throw to Kate Otten, Mark. Henry is all over him. Henry Toa could not have been in better position. And somehow Baker gets that ball in there to Otten for a touchdown. And I was standing in the back of the end zone. I could see it coming. And I'm like, how did he get that in there?
And that
day, no idea.
That amazing day was going to end like that. But it didn't.
So disgusted with that. So to Robbie's question, are they going to keep hammering defense? What are they going to do in the draft? As I watched, you know, obviously yesterday, and you see Danielle Hunter. Mm-hmm. Added to defensive line on top of Danico Autry, on top of Fido Kassi, I started thinking, okay, I don't know. Defensive line feels pretty stacked right now. Maybe that's the way they go. But then Malik is traded today, and I'm like, okay, maybe they're looking at a piece missing. But I think, and I feel like that piece is a veteran piece, but that's just my hunch. So I started thinking yesterday as I was driving home, it feels like 23 and 59 where the Texans pick 23 and pick 59, are going to be wide receiver and corner in whatever order. And I feel like, and the reason I say that is two reasons. Number one, receiver value is all over this draft. I mean, you can get great receiver value in the seventh round. I'm telling you, you can get studs in this draft. But I feel like at 59, you could have a pick of a number of really good wide receivers. I feel the same way with corner. I feel like corner rounds 1 through 3. But the other thing to watch is the nickels. The nickels in this draft are really, really good. I mean, really good. Mikey Sanders still from out of Michigan. Andrew Phillips from out of Kentucky. There's so many guys. Even my favorite, Jerrion Jones from out of Florida State. He's 6'4", 195.
Those are all first two-day picks. Friday night at the latest.
Probably. I don't know if they all get in there. But I think their third-round pick could be in contention for one of those guys.
So you think right now, if I had to say right now, because we can always change this, and it will have to change based on possible free agent acquisitions, first round, second round, you think one of those two picks is a receiver?
Yeah.
You'd go there.
Yeah.
See, I don't think so. I think they'll wait on that, but I'd be shocked if it's not defense in the first round. I just have this defensive feeling
feel like
in the
corner,
first round.
In what I'm trying to...
Either line or corner
is the hard
based
part
on
me.
What happens the rest of the
season. I'm trying to match up where I have guys' values with pick number 23. And that doesn't always happen that way. But what I do think is a defensive player is going to move down. And I think that Nick is not picking at 23. We know that. It's just a matter of is he going up to get somebody. And I feel like if he's going up to get somebody... Then it's Byron Murphy.
You think it's a lock that he moves that pick?
Yeah, he's moving that pick.
He can't help himself.
Are you kidding me? He's moving that pick.
You know what
I want to know? He's going to get anxious.
I want to know how many seeds he will plant as trade possibilities based on whatever mocks he's put together.
Right.
So you know he's going to have 3 or 4 deals ready in the chamber to fire if necessary. And you feel like he's definitely going to use one of them. You never know. But
wide receiver, corner, defensive line of some, those are the three that I think are going to go in those first three picks.
Here's how
23, 59, and then what, 86 ish, whatever. Those are the three positions I think they end up picking.
But if a great offensive player drops to them at 23 and they feel awesome about it,
what
if there's value there,
they ain't going to be a quarterback.
If they feel like they could drop move back and get an extra late second rounder or something, they might just do that.
Okay, but if Brock Bowers is there at 23, jump all over
it. Just don't ruin the draft party, okay? Just don't trade out of the first round, please. You know, you're 23.
Do you need to text him this just to make sure?
No.
He go down to 31 or 32.
He won't like that at all. He'll be like, draft party? What's that?
Here's the way that kind
of... We're in the room.
I've said this, Mark, and I'll say it many, many times. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, offensive tackles are going to push down defensive players to number 23. So it makes some sense that there's going to be somebody at 23 they didn't expect to be there, whether it's Leatu Latu from UCLA, whether it's Byron Murphy from the University of Texas. I think Sweat will be there, but I think that's a little high for Sweat at number 23. But if you've gone that way and said, hey, we need big and beefy, yet athletic, then Tavondre Sweat might be the way you go. That is the sweet spot to me for corners. I think corner sweet spot is like 15 to like 55-ish in that range. There is a glut of corners. I don't think any of them get in the top 10. So I think they're going to get pushed down as well. So Quinyon Mitchell, could he be there at 23? Potentially. The teams that, when I did my mock draft, I had corner going at like Indianapolis. Indianapolis needs a corner. And they've re-upped with Pittman, so maybe they're a spot for a corner. Jacksonville needs a corner. But now they've got a glaring need at wide receiver.
And there's a lot of talent there, to your point.
Exactly. So I feel like there are going to be some good defensive players pushed down. It's just a matter of, do you take best defensive lineman on the board? Or, you know, because you need it?
I'll tell you what's going to happen.
Or you take the most talented guy at corner because you know that guy's going to turn into a better player than a guy you're drafting for need at defensive line, if that makes sense.
Brock Bowers. If he drops to 23, is it a lock that they take him, even though they're just re-up with Schultz?
I don't know, anything's a lock.
But he's so good.
It's
a very appealing pickup. But I look at it like this. If they played this weekend, I feel like offensively, they have a lot of what they need.
Receiver,
tight end, they've got a starting back they like.
Right.
And they need to fortify the backfield, but that's not first-round stuff to me. I feel like it's not like they're set, but they're pretty well set. They can move the ball on offense with what they've got.
Correct.
Defensively, right now, as we sit here, Wednesday night, league year just started, they've got holes.
What's your biggest concern defensively?
Right now, I would say, now that Malik's, you know, what's going on with those two guys?
I'm not putting you on a spot. I'm just asking.
I would say concern, meaning area of need.
Right.
Defensive tackle and corner.
Right.
Opposite Stingley. And
that's why I think those three
Okuda might blossom into what they always hoped, they meaning the Lions when they drafted him and the whole league and everybody have him. Like, where'd you have Okuda on your board?
He was like 3 or 4 overall.
Yeah. I mean, so maybe Okuda blossoms, right?
Right.
And that'd be great. But I don't know if they, the Texans brass, if they are going to count on that happening. Like, they can't wait for that and then, we need a corner. We need another one. They have to have insurance themselves.
Yep.
And so we'll see how they play that out. Okay.
Oh, boy.
More? Is there more? Don't play
Hold
the
Hold it
center.
For after the break. Hold it for after the break.
All right. We got a little story. At the very least, a little story coming up after the
break. Actually, this is a big one.
No, do it now then. We got to do it now.
No, save it. After the break.
What?
We've been in radio for a long time. Tease it. Let's just say that today's trade could have been very, very different.
If this had happened earlier? Okay. All right.
So I'm going to say. Today's trade could have been very, very different.
Now I'm curious. Okay, it's Texans Radio. So, Johnny, pay off the tease right now. What happened?
Here we go. Matt Barrows from The Athletic, covers the 49ers, wrote this today in his kind of free agency, like, nugget column. And I quote, 49ers are sending a 7th-round pick, which we know, number 232, the Houston Texans, is part of Wednesday's trade for Malik Collins. A day earlier, it seemed as if the 49ers and Texans had a player-for-player deal in place, Armstead for Collins, but it fell apart after the Texans agreed to terms with edge rusher Danielle Hunter, per a source briefed on the situation. The 49ers instead cut Armstead on Wednesday. Armstead's suitors are expected to include Texans, Bills, and Titans. So, what that tells me, once you look at the Eric Armstead contract, his cap hit is $28 million this year.
Yeah.
And you assume, I'm assuming, that as the Texans would end up assuming that, you don't know if the 49ers would pay more. I don't know. I don't know how you would figure it out. But it's not an NBA trade. The money doesn't have to match up.
Right.
The team on the receiving side just has to.
The NBA has to match up.
Yeah, you
got to
match up. Yeah, it's like 80% or something like that. So to me, that's what this Just reading that in full.
Yeah, they don't want to pay him that.
Right. They don't want to cap hit at $28 million or whatever it is.
They might have been willing to, but once they got Hunter to agree,
right,
they thought, we're paying him a lot of money, and right, he's awesome. So if we need Armstead, we'll wait till they cut him.
Cut him.
And then start all over with him.
Exactly.
I figure they have about...
Start fresh. Start fresh if you're interested in Armstead. Now, the risk you run, obviously, is you got the Bills and Titans in this whole thing.
And the Titans, every time a 49er becomes available, Rand Carthon, GM of the Titans, has great familiarity, just as D'Amico Ryans does here. So you have that dynamic going on in both organizations. So you always have to watch out for that. I don't want him going to Tennessee. If he's not going to be here, become a Bill or something. The Bills will be at NRG Stadium this year, by the way. So you have to deal with them one way or another, and maybe in the postseason, too. But anyway, I'd love to see Armstead. So we'll see how it goes. And maybe there's news.
I mean,
maybe not.
Supposed to have a $28 million cap hit. Obviously, the 49ers are kicking that can down the road on the contract they gave him. They gave him a 5-year, $85 million contract back in, I don't know what year that was, 22, maybe 2020. I can't remember what year it was. But you obviously don't want to assume that cost. So can you, all right, you're going to release him anyways.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get a 7th-round pick. Get a little bit of cap relief from moving Malik, and then you start negotiating with Armstead, and you're like, you know what? We don't want to take all this cap hit now, so let's do this and get it all figured out, and you take a lesser cap hit, get him on the same roster, you know, as you do Danielle Hunter. You probably just need more time, but to me, that seems to be what is kind of the sticking point, is that right there. So we'll see. Eric Armstead, 6'7", 291, one of the freakiest dudes I've ever seen at the combine.
So
incredible.
6'7", 291 sounds, he's a tweener of sorts, or can kinda play both tackle and end masterfully or whatever. I mean, obviously, he's been a highly productive player.
I mean, he would have been old school 3-4-5 technique. Like, that would have been his thing. But with San Francisco, very successful. 6'7", 291, and just watching how he uses long arms and hands and levers and all that, he's really good rushing the quarterback from inside. So that's
what about
that's
stopping the run?
Well, D'Amico would know.
Okay.
D'Amico would know. So
just playing the game here, hypothetically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have Will, Armstead, you have Hunter on the other side, you have Fatakasi. How's that? Is that an upgrade over last year? They're not done. I like Fatakasi.
No,
they're definitely not done. They're going to add they could add both Armstead and somebody else, or two other people and not Armstead.
Right.
But I got a feeling two more are coming.
On the inside?
Yep.
On the inside, sure. Yep. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like...
A stud and a pretty good, or maybe both studs, I don't know. But I think they're going to run out of room here without doing some restructuring.
Again, do we even know Khalil Davis was going to have the impact he did last year?
I think. How about this? How about
look,
Khalil
Shutter
Davis?
Shutter Rankins is still out there, and he was very successful in this defense.
And if the market gets softer for him,
who knows?
You know, but can Khalil get better?
Absolutely.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, listen, the guy was playing football through the entire spring leading up to July 1st. His last game was July 1st. I looked this up today because I was literally in the middle of my position breakdown on the defensive line, getting all written up, and then Malik is traded. And so I'm like, I got to move him to a different spot. So I was looking at Khalil. He played for the Birmingham Stallions in the USFL championship game on July 1.
Yep.
He was in camp with us, I think, August 1st.
And then
2nd,
you get ready
like
for
that.
All that camp and a 17-game season.
He just played football the whole time and was getting better each and every week. So Khalil Davis is the kind of guy you got to – Khalil Davis is the kind of guy you have to have on a defense. You have to. Remember when the Patriots, they had all those guys up front. None of them were really big names, but you knew them. You know, you had Dietrich Wise, and you had a few other guys.
They all made plays.
Adam Butler would come in and rush from inside. It was like Adam Butler was like 6th or 7th rounder that they got from Vanderbilt, who I always liked, but he's misshapen. He's small, but he could rush the quarterback. And so the Patriots went and got him, and they would find a way to get him on the field, and
maybe
he'd make
the impact. Maybe that's what he's looking at.
I just think you got to have grinders.
But Patriots, you know, for years, Richard Seymour, Vince Wilfork, you know, players like that, they always had super studs as well mixed in.
Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr.
All right, there it is.
I mean, those I'm not saying that,
by the way,
that's the full answer, but.
What episode are we on in the Patriots Dynasty Apple TV series?
So, have you watched it?
I'm only on episode 3.
Okay.
You know, I watched episode 3 with Vanderkid. Because I watched it with you a little bit on the laptop.
Mm-hmm.
during lunch one day,
right.
And then I watched it again. It's fascinating how Robert Kraft buys up all the land around the old Foxborough Stadium.
Isn't it? That,
so
that's
no one
those,
else yes. wants to buy the team because he controls all the parking.
Correct.
It was just strictly business. I mean, he was a huge fan
yeah.
before he bought the team. A
that
huge
was,
fan.
That was.
But he bought up all the land so he could control the parking revenue. No one could do a thing about it unless they wanted to buy it from him. And he's like, no, you're not buying it from me because I want to buy the team. So he froze out all the other buyers and bought the team.
I got really up. So first of all, very crafty move, pun intended.
Yes.
It gets to episode 6 and it's completely and totally devoted to the Aaron Hernandez situation.
Ooh.
And I will continue to watch the rest of it, but that really turned me off.
Oh, it did.
It wasn't
football anymore.
The Crafts really put all of that on Belichick. Wait till you see episode 6.
Oh, they're throwing him under the bus?
They put it all on Belichick.
Bill should have known.
Yes.
Really?
I'm telling you, it was a Kraft.
Mm.
I was like, we didn't do it. We had nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
We just gave them all the money, but we had nothing to do with this. Right. Go ask Bill. I mean, I'm telling you, when you
that's
see it.
That's interesting. Well, now that makes me want to watch it even more because I noticed there was an element of that early on, not as severe.
Right.
But when
this
they had Parcells on
yep.
and Kraft, there's no love lost there. Kraft says Bill Parcells did things that were good for Bill Parcells mm-hmm. because they had that breakup.
Somebody said something about this being essentially Kraft's presentation to go into the Hall of Fame, like how he's presented. He's telling his whole story. And then you see at the very end, you know, 2024 Kraft Productions at the very bottom as a credit.
Oh, they helped them out with all the footage. Well, with a lot of the footage. Because they have footage where I know some of that footage is not NFL Films footage.
I got to episode 6 and I was like, whoever that was that tweeted that or said that, they're dead on.
Interesting.
Dead on. That's exactly what this has become.
All right. This show is exactly about to end. And Chris Santiago, thanks for helping us out producing this program. Coming up, it's Area 45. B. Scott and Bajani on tonight, right? B. Scott and Bajani on Area 45 live, taking your calls, talking about free agency. Maybe some stuff breaks tonight. Let's see what happens. This show will be available via podcast soon enough, HoustonTexans.com. Have a great night. Go Texans.